This is Mental Health Awareness Week in America and in Michigan. Advocates want you to be aware of what they say is a looming mental health problem. Service providers say more than 300 people in mid-Michigan who receive mental health care through Medicare will soon lose some of those services. They say that's partly due to cuts in state general fund dollars that were made with the expectation that Medicaid expansion funding would fill the gaps. Meanwhile, the Lansing chapter of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is hosting a national expert on mental health crisis intervention. Sam Cochran is a retired Memphis police officer. He helped create a national model used by law enforcement agencies to intervene with mentally ill persons. I spoke with Mr. Cochran just after his arrival in Lansing yesterday. He told me the program was created back in 1987 following a confrontation between the Memphis police and a young man suffering from mental illness.
26-year-old individual was cutting himself with a knife. After a brief encounter, he was shot multiple times by our officers, which really stirred up a community unrest.
Did he die?
Yes.
Okay.
And it became, in many ways, political. Our mayor at that particular time formed a community task force. The mission of that task force is come up with a plan to provide safety for the officers, safety for the family members, and safety for people who live and struggle with mental illness, which was brilliant. Everybody's for that.
Let's go a little bit deeper into the CIT model exactly, the Crisis Intervention Team model. How does it work?
It is about a first responder. We have officers that are CIT officers. They're embedded into what we refer to as the uniform patrol. They're first responders. So when a crisis call comes through 911, that dispatcher that is assigning calls to a particular officer has a list of all of the available CIT officers on that particular shift. It's a 24-hour service. So we have officers that work different shifts that everyone's familiar with. So when that dispatcher assigns a CIT officer to that call event, she or he will also assign other officers to be support. But it's very critical to understand that CIT officer is the specialist. That's the person that's going to be directing the outcome of this crisis event. We're looking for that specialist role of an officer we call CIT.
It's National Mental Health Awareness Week. We are talking today with Major Sam Cochran. Mr. Cochran's a retired police officer who spent 33 years on the Memphis Police Department, and today he is a nationally sought consultant and expert in mental illness crisis intervention. He's in Lansing discussing the Crisis Intervention Team approach with NAMI Lansing. What have we learned through sometimes painful trial and error about how to approach incidents with mentally ill people?
From a law enforcement perspective, we've learned some very unique skills that the end result. Remember, at the very beginning of this was all about safety. It was all about safety for everyone. But we had to learn some uniqueness about some of the training and some of the skills in order to ensure safety was the final outcome. And one of the things that we had to address, oftentimes family members, NAMI, will point out stigma towards that of mental illness. And this is not a reflection of law enforcement. The real question is there stigma within the community? And I think if you look real closely, yes, there is stigma within our communities of where we live with regards to mental illness. Oftentimes, portraying people who live and struggle with mental illness is always violent, always dangerous, and always out to do harm. And that's just not true. So it's important that the officers, not only with great training, but they have an understanding of mental illness being a brain illness and addressing that as if you would address any other type of physical injury, such as heart patients or diabetics and things of that nature.
So the crisis intervention team member who might go out on a particular call, do the other officers involved in that incident defer to that CIT team member in certain ways?
It is understood that on a crisis event that the CIT officer, remember now, these officers know each other. They work together. But it is understood that the CIT officer is the lead officer. That brings clarity to a crisis event. And if you need clarity, it is at a crisis event.
And I would take it that a good crisis intervention team member is good at verbal de-escalation. I know one of the things that you're doing in Lansing this week is helping instruct verbal de-escalation techniques. Can you give us an example of that?
Well, there's many layers within that, and we don't have time to do all the different layers, but I'm going to be focusing on presenting as a coach, and I'm going to introduce a playbook. And this playbook has to do with some verbal de-escalation skills that actually are part of strategy. These skills really have a purpose in mind, and that's to open up communications. Remember, that is at the front line of what we're trying to do. We're trying to connect with an individual that may be struggling significantly with some of the symptoms relating to mental illness, and we need to slow things down. We need to open up communications, and we need to address some real critical issues that are at a crisis that oftentimes we fail to address, and that's fear. And that's anger, and that's hopelessness. And so that officer understands that addressing those three levels is part of strategy, part of opening up communication, and part of reaching a safe conclusion.
And are active listening skills at the heart of that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Active listening skills are unique. And again, many of our officers are doing that. They just don't know they're doing it. And we're not only going to be enhancing those active listening skills, but we're going to be reassuring them, hey, you're doing a good job. A lot of times our officers don't have confidence because many times we'll talk to officers and they're interacting with people in crisis and they say, I don't know that I'm getting through. I don't know that I'm doing right. Actually, they really are. They're doing good, but so they don't have confidence. So a lot of being a CIT officer is also about establishing confidence.
Again, we're talking with Major Sam Cochran, a retired Memphis police officer who spent 33 years on the force there. He's today, and he has been, a nationally sought-after consultant and expert in mental illness crisis intervention, and he's in Lansing today talking about his crisis intervention team approach. I promised we'd talk about the importance of community partnerships here. Talk to us about who you need to connect with to make this work.
All right. There's multiple partnerships, but the three primary partnerships that have got to be at the very beginning and have to be continually nurturing this effort, and that's law enforcement. Obviously, that goes without saying. Mental health providers. We have to have those mental health providers within the community and the advocacy. Now, probably at the thrust of the advocacy partnership is that of NAMI. You have Mental Health of America that they're placed, but clearly across the United States, NAMI has set the stage. And the reason I say that, in 1986, our local NAMI in Memphis was saying, your officers are not trained, your officers are not trained. That message was heard, but it was not acted upon. And then in 1987, we had the shooting event. And then in 1988, when we had the mission to implement a program that would provide safety, NAMI was brought to the table. So out of that task force effort, NAMI had a voice, and they continue to have a voice. They take ownership of the program. And we want all of the partners to take ownership. Ownership is very critical. But in order to take ownership, you have to have an identity. You can't own anything you can't identify. And so we want that identity. We want the law enforcement to say, CIT, oh, that's our program. That's our program. We want the mental health people to say, CIT, oh, we do all of the training. That's our program. And we want advocacy to say, CIT, that's our program. That's our program.
Mental health funding is a very big issue in this state. I imagine you see this play out in other areas of the country. How important is it to invest more dollars in mental health funding?
Funding is important. Funding relates to services. So legislators or council people or city commissioners, whoever, they have a responsibility to be good stewards of tax funding. So it's important that what the funding that is going is actually addressing some of the community issues, and they need to be listening to the community with regards to what those issues are. CIT is just one platform, a platform by which to address what those community issues are. And quite frankly, if you look at across the United States and what we're going, we're having a lot of similar issues where funding You're hearing that story over and over again. It's challenging. Rural areas oftentimes will have a sense of hopelessness. We can't do CIT. We have no funding. I say, no, you have to do CIT simply because you don't have funding, because that mission is supposed to push forward that awareness to those funding resources in order to create additional services. And so it really becomes a community demand. When you get the community united together, when you have law enforcement standing with mental health providers, and you have mental health providers and law enforcement standing with NAMI, that's a pretty powerful voice for a mayor to say, I'm sorry, we're cutting back. Why don't we come together as a community? We come together because this is where we want to raise our family. This is where we want to have jobs and homes and go to churches and do all the things. What are we doing with regards to people that we see on the streets of our communities? You know, if you were to see a citizen carrying a white cane with a red tip trying to cross the street, ain't no doubt in my mind, you'd have a traffic jam in Lansing, Michigan, of people getting out of their cars, helping that individual cross the street. How many people are in our parks or on the side of the road that are languishing in pain and struggling and hardship relating to a brain illness? And yet we distort that medical understanding to say it's all about behavior. That person doesn't want help, or that person won't comply with help. I think that's just a challenge for us to act as a community and do the right thing.
Local mental health officials in this area would like to see a crisis intervention team established here in Ingham County. Right now, only two counties in Michigan have such a program, Kalamazoo County and St. Joseph County. What does it take to establish a CIT?
It takes people coming to the table and not being afraid. And what I mean by that is, let's just take, for example, the mental health providers. If you do CIT right, you will have an increase of individuals coming to your attention. Now, if you're a mental health director and you're saying, wait a minute, you're going to tell me I'm going to have more people coming into my services, and yet you're cutting my funding, that's pretty challenging. That's pretty frightening. The mental health directors, they have responsibility of their employees. You have a lot of great case managers, I would suspect. All of a sudden, you double the patient load with regards to case managers. How can that case manager be able to serve a population that's all of a sudden being doubled simply because we can't add more case managers? And it takes those individuals to come together and saying, this is our community. Our community needs us, so I need champions. So keep it focused. We want our community. We want our effort of CIT to be better than yesterday.
Our guest today has been Sam Cochran. He's a retired major with the Memphis Police Department, and he's an expert in mental health crisis intervention, and he's helped many law enforcement agencies in the U.S. develop these programs. Mr. Cochran, thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it, and I appreciate you putting up with my accent.
Thank you.